your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal.
Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
I am very delighted to welcome Kalita Haverland to the show. These days, we know her simply as Kalita. She released a bunch of country albums in the 80s and 90s. You may remember her singles Too Hot to Handle and The Strong One. She was also a frequent guest on The Tommy Hunter Show. Her latest album is called Heart of a Woman, and it features great songs with just Kalita's beautiful voice accompanied by the piano. These days she also devotes a lot of her time to speaking to groups about personal loss and finding faith while sharing stories from her own life. Originally from Alberta, now calling Vancouver, BC home, my pleasure to welcome Kalita to the show. Hello there.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how are you, Kalita?
How are you? I'm good. I'm really great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, my pleasure to have you here. So looking forward to this. Of course, we have a couple of songs from that album. I mentioned Heart of a Woman and Stories to Share. And it's just so great to have you on the other end of the line.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be on the other end of the line. I feel sorry for you guys out in Ontario. You're still having winter, though.
I know, especially yesterday when we are officially in spring and we had snow and cold temperatures yesterday, and it's still cold today. So how are things out in B.C.?
Well, it's beautiful this time of year. Everything is blooming. So it's all lush and green.
Wow. That's what we're hoping for. Like I say, officially spring, and let's keep our fingers crossed. I can't wait to get to these songs because they are two very beautiful songs. One is The Strong One, which was a hit for you on the country charts. This version is a piano version. And then we've got a song called Caged Bird, which is just so beautiful and moving, and I can't wait to hear more about that. Let's head back to your hometown of Claresholm, Alberta, if I'm pronouncing the city correctly. Tell us about growing up there. I know that singing began quite early, around the age of four.
Well, actually, before I sang, my mother had me dress up like an old lady, and I memorized a poem. And I performed it for the Auxiliary United Church Women's event. You know, they used to get together in the basement of the United Church. And so that was my first foray into performing in front of people. But, I loved, back then, I'm dating myself, of course, but some of the first songs that I remember singing were Petula Clark, Downtown, and Hermits, Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter. I think I was probably learning to speak at the same time those songs were coming out. But, yeah, music just, it caught me at a very, very young age. And, growing up on a farm, we didn't really have a lot of radio stations. I think we might have had a couple, maybe. And my father, I make a joke about this, but he loved country music. In fact, he used to call local square dances before I was even born. So called the square dances in our farming community there, and he also was an auctioneer. And I never heard him auctioneer. He had, I guess, let that go by the time I was born. But he loved country radio, and I think he soldered the radio to the country radio station in his truck.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty amazing when you grow up in a household that listens to country and sometimes strictly country, only that. And I grew up in that kind of environment, but also discovered country, I guess, in the 80s as it was getting more modern. But so who are some of those people you were hearing on the radio, Kalita, that were appealing to you and that maybe you thought, I could sing like that someday?
Well, you know what? I never, ever, ever wanted to be a country singer. my parents listened to country. We had, I'll never forget the Marty Robbins album that was, it was bright pink, and it had him in black, and Big Iron on His Hip was one of the my favorite songs after on that album. And my mom had the Johnny Horton, North to Alaska, and I used to, I would sing along with those and memorize all the words. But really, truly, I started falling in love with music when I had my one of my first albums, and that was Valdi. And so Valdi really caught my attention. I tended to like the more ballad, kind of folky, you know, kind of more middle of the road music. And then I started, when I started to buy some of my own songs, my own singles, it was Anne Murray. I had a single of hers that was out, I think, even before Snowbird. And then I got into the Eagles and Seals and Crofts, Bread, America, The Carpenters, and of course my all-time favorite and so many, Carole King.
Oh yeah, for sure. The Tapestry album with all those huge hits.
Album.
Beautiful songs.
Yeah, huge hits that still live on today, you know. But those, so it was interesting. Even though I was brought up with those country roots, it's not really where I wanted, it's not where I was going. I was more attracted to that middle of the road, easy listening music.
Well, all those artists you mentioned there are definitely that. They are singers of great songs, not the loud songs, but gentle songs, meaningful songs, and they're all ones that I enjoy listening to as well. I mean, Anne Murray, still to this day, is one of my favorites. I mean, she's just got such a nice voice to listen to.
Yeah, it's one of a kind, isn't it?
It is. And, I mean, she had so many meaningful songs, you know, the big one of her big hits, We Sure Could Use a Little Good News Today, you know, there were songs that, people could listen to and embrace.
Yeah, like, yes, I always loved songs with messages. I think that's what I was attracted to as well. And you know, like, during those teenage years, I was going through, well, and into my childhood too, my earlier years, I was going through a lot. There was a lot going on in my family, a lot of loss, and I think those softer, more heartfelt songs were really appealing to me, and they allowed me to grieve.
Do you find that music, and we'll get more into some of those stories, but through those tough times that you had and struggling with loss and things that were going on in your life, was music an escape and possibly saved you through all that?
Oh, totally. Music has been my lifeline. I often say that. Not only did I always love to perform and to listen to music, but when I started writing, and I guess that was about... I was 11 when I wrote my first song, and I knew when I started writing that I was really tapping into a place deep within me that allowed me to be able to express myself. And music has saved me in so many ways because it's been definitely a place for me to go to and to be able to express, you know, myself and what was going on in my life at that time.
Is there something healing, Kalita, in just the actual process of writing a song that is that personal and releasing it so it's a release for you emotionally? And does that help heal, just the expression of it?
Oh, definitely. I think music is very healing, whether you're listening or whether you're engaged by singing or definitely the writing process. Sometimes the writing process, those have been some of the most special times, if you can call being alone, you know, with yourself. I've enjoyed the company because it's brought out, it's brought out something that is deeper than sometimes words can even express. And when you're writing and when the music and the lyrics are coming together at the same time, and you know that it's happening in a way that it's beyond, you know, anything that you could have learned. I mean, I was never taught how to write songs, and even when I started writing, I'd only been playing the piano for a couple of years. You know, I was still very elementary in my playing, But it would definitely, for me, it's been a spiritual experience. I look at that gift that was given to me at such a young age as something that was handed to me. And, of course, over the years, I've worked at my craft,
sure.
to learn how to write good songs and turn them into, you know, to records and CDs. But, yeah, music's been an amazing gift to me for sure.
Do you find sometimes when you are writing a song, especially one that is quite personal, of course it's coming from your life, but do you also feel that there's some inspiration maybe bigger than you that is kind of channeling those lyrics and melody through you and you're almost amazed at what is coming out as you're writing it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Not every song is like that. You know, sometimes I don't do it so much anymore, but many years ago, I'd get together with other songwriters, and you'd have an appointment to, you know, to get together and write a song. But a lot of times that was different. That's a different mode of writing. But definitely, when the
sure.
inspiration comes, and you feel like you are being the conduit, you're being the vessel that's being used to deliver the message. So yeah, it's a very supernatural experience at times, and it's those songs that have been written in that way, interestingly enough, are the ones that have the most universal appeal and the ones that have, you know, at the end of the night, those are the ones that sell my CDs. They want those songs that they've heard that night.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think people can pick up on that. I mean, you can certainly craft a song, and it can be very beautiful and very much appreciated, but I think there's that magical quality in certain songs, like Caged
yeah.
Bird, which we're going to hear a bit later in the show. I mean, that, when I heard that, that was just such a moving song, and that's got to come from one of those places, too.
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, I wrote that with a friend of mine. She was a fairly new friend, and she came from songwriting in a totally different way than I did. She came to my place with a list of song titles. And she's,
right.
you know, we decided we were going to write a song, but she had the
yep.
list of titles. And when she said, "I know why the caged bird sings," I said, "Oh, that one, let's write that one." And,
yeah.
And it was a different experience because, you know, as I've just told you, usually, you know, the special songs are inspired, but this was inspired in a different way. I caught a vision once she said that title to me, and we sat down in my piano room. I played piano, and the song really, you know, I say it kind of wrote itself, and we had the whole song within no time. But I saw the vision of the song, and that I can't really say that happens very often, that I saw the vision, but I saw pictures,
yeah.
and I wrote with the pictures in mind. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's
yeah.
a lovely one, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, and lots more about your country career. But let's sort of fill our listeners in, I guess, on some of those losses and some of those tragedies you dealt early on and throughout your teens. And there's actually a video on YouTube, one of the TED Talks, TEDx, where you where you share a lot of your stories through that.
Yes, I do. Well, I was brought up in a dysfunctional family like most people. My father was, he was a very sensitive man, and he suffered from depression and used alcohol to self-medicate and struggled a lot. And he ended his life when he was 55. He committed suicide on our farm. And that was the first major loss. And shortly after that, my mom got breast cancer. And she died when I was 15. And then my oldest brother, Jimmy, he died 2 years after my mom. And he died of a heroin overdose. So there were three family members that passed away all within 6 years, and obviously
right.
the suicide and the heroin overdose. Those are very, you know, those are unexpected ways. I mean,
yeah.
we knew my mother was ill, although you know, we as children, we were never told that she was terminally ill, but it became quite apparent in the last several months of her life that, you know, she wasn't going to be with us that much longer. Yeah.
With your father and brothers, you mentioned that those weren't situations that, I guess, were medical conditions. Is there guilt in some cases where you wonder if there was something you could have done, you know, at some point before that, or does that enter into it at all?
I think I was too young maybe to feel any guilt, although I know my sister did, and she was younger than I was. She was 3 years younger than me. But she, I think she felt guilty. I never felt guilty about his death. The only thing I felt and questioned why there wasn't anyone else, why there weren't adults who, you know, who could have helped save my father.
Right.
Obviously, as, you know, as a grown adult and knowing the situation better through adult eyes, I understand.
Yeah.
People did the best they could do considering, you know, the situation. Yeah. And my brother, my brother was, he lived a very dark, secretive, double life. And, he was obviously a troubled person. He actually was my perpetrator. So I was sexually abused by him when I was a preschool girl. Hmm. And that wasn't something that I even acknowledged until after my parents and he had passed on. So I was dealing with a lot.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine for anybody who hasn't been in those shoes. And how do you stay strong, not to simplify it, but mm-hmm. through those times and when you're going through all that, obviously you're not strong all the time, but how do you survive that?
Well, I mean, my faith in God has helped me through so much. And as I was sharing earlier about my songwriting and being given that gift in a supernatural way, you know, mm-hmm. I wasn't brought up in what you would call a super religious home. I mean, my parents, you know, we would go to church now and then. We went to Sunday school as children. But, you know, I can't say that my parents were, you know, really strong in their faith, and we didn't live in a home. I mean, we were brought up with good morals, but we were, you know, it was never shoved down our throats. It was never forced upon us. And so, but as the years went by, I just sensed and felt that even as this little girl, that God was with me. And that I was not going through this alone. And it's hard to explain. Later on, just before my mom passed away, you know, we did start going to a church, and so in a more formal way, I became part of a church community, and was really supported and shown a lot of love through these people. But I must say that, you know, I just feel so blessed because I think, you know, God just somehow had his hand on me, and he's given me something within my spirit that is strong, that knows that no matter what happens, I will be able to get back up on my feet again, and that whatever happens, I'm able to take something positive out of the experience and learn, become, you know, wiser and to be able to grow as a person. And what it has taught me more than anything and is that I can have a larger capacity to be able to empathize and sympathize with other people who experience the same things. And although there have been a lot of hard things, there's also been a lot of positive because it's made me it's made me a sensitive person. It's made me a sensitive artist. And in experiencing these things and with the work that I do now, you know, my, to feel like the reason that I'm here on this earth is that I can let people know that they're not alone and that there are other people who understand where they are and what they're going through. And so I've been able to have this gift of being able to express what many other people are feeling, but they can't perhaps express themselves. So it's all worked together, you know, to bring me to where I am today in my life and as a writer, as an artist. So, to answer your question, my faith is huge, played a huge part of it. But I know that, you know, I look at myself and my character, my DNA, the very fiber of who I am, there's some strength in that DNA, I guess.
For sure, and it's pretty amazing that you're able to pass that on, Kalita, with the talks that you do. I know you do a lot of those and share your stories, which in turn helps others. And through your album, specifically, Heart of a Woman, I mean, there are so many beautiful songs, and then I've read comments online, and you must get many, many more, about how some of those songs on there have really touched somebody's life and maybe healed them or helped them start to turn around. And it's got to be great to know that you're having that kind of impact.
Yes, it's the most rewarding thing. It really is. I hear from a lot of people. I guess you could call it mentoring. I hear from different listeners and fans sometimes in other countries, and we create relationships. And, you know, I mean, wow. I've thought lately that I think the next thing I'd like to do, besides finishing my story, my memoirs, is... Is to work on perhaps becoming a life coach because of all the experiences. I think I do it. I come by it naturally. So, I love to help people. I really do. It's one of my most favorite things to do is to encourage people and to inspire them that, you know, they can move on from where they are and, that they have... They have a lot of power right inside of themselves that they don't even know exists.
Yeah. It's amazing, and that power is there, and that someone like you can help bring that out and show them how to harness that power. Let's turn to a song from Heart of a Woman, and I'll let our listeners know your album is available on iTunes, many of your albums, many of your songs. They can also go to Kalita.com and learn lots more about you there, and there's links to those albums. But the song we'll play first is The Strong One, and this was a hit on the country charts. There was a video as well on CMT in the 90s, but this version is a softer piano version. So tell us about the song in general and this version, too.
Yeah, I wrote this song. I was going through a hard time in my life. I was at a turning point, near a turning point in my life. All these things that I've been openly sharing with you, Dave, I never used to. I was a very closed, private person. I was a very messed up young woman, actually. I was in an unhealthy marriage. I was, trying to lead my life by covering everything up and hiding all my woundedness and my secrets. And around the time when I wrote this, I was running out of masks to wear. And I was physically, emotionally, mentally at the end of my rope. I didn't know how much longer I could continue going on like that. And I don't mean I was suicidal, but I was in psychologically in a place where I thought I was going to crack. And so this song, I wrote this with a fellow, Johnny Douglas. He used to go by Johnny D. Fury. And Johnny was, he still is an amazing artist and writer. He's been in Nashville for years now. But he and I wrote a few songs together, and we wrote this one. And he plays guitar, so, we wrote it on guitar. But I always then, played it, my version on the piano. And so really the version that you're going to play is the way, I hear the song. I've slowed it down, and it's a very meaningful song for me. And as it goes, it's very meaningful for many people, because I think each one of us at some point in our lives, we just throw our hands up and say, hey, I don't want to be the strong one anymore.
Oh, for sure. This song has reached a lot of people and will continue to do so. Let's hear this great version from Kalita. It's called The Strong One on In the Country.
Ever since I was a young girl, I've been strong for everybody else. Now that I'm a little older, I think it's time I let myself cry.
A beautiful song from my guest, Kalita. That is called The Strong One, which is available on her CD, Heart of a Woman. You can get that at Kalita.com or straight at iTunes. Beautiful singing there, Kalita. Your voice is it's beautiful and powerful.
Thank you, Dave.
I enjoyed listening to that one. I Can't wait to play Caged Bird in just a while. Listen to that one as well. Let's talk about some of the sort of the musical highlights over the years. One thing I found fascinating to read on your single Too Hot to Handle, a young lady named Eileen Twain, 19-year-old singer at that time, was a background singer on that.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, eh?
Yeah, wow.
Yes. Well, her manager at the time was Mary Bailey. And Mary Bailey had a publishing company. And Cyril Rawson, who is a songwriter, he and I had written this song, Too Hot to Handle. He was my guitar player sometimes. And we were on the road, and we wrote this song, Too Hot to Handle. So he was a writer with Mary Bailey's publishing company. And so we were going to do a demo or a single. And so I went down to Nashville, and Mary was there, and she had Eileen with her at the time. I think it was like March break or something. And so she was there in the studio when we were doing this song, and she said, I've got a young girl here, you know, Eileen Twain, and she would really love to sing backgrounds on that song, and I think she would be great for it. And so, you know, so we said, well, sure, because Mary was paying for the, she was paying for the tracks.
Okay.
She was paying for the song to be recorded for her publishing company. And so we said, sure, of course. So, yeah, so that's Eileen singing on that song. That's how that happened.
Pretty amazing. And a few years later, she became Shania Twain, and the rest is history. That is so cool. And you had many guest appearances on the Tommy Hunter Show. I watched that a lot when it was on the air. Loved the mix of people they had, and it was such a fun show. What was your experience like on that show, Kalita?
Oh, I loved it. You know, I mean, I grew up watching it when I was a kid, and so, yeah, I was on the show, I think, 8 times over the years.
Wow.
And it was lovely. You know, it was a fun crowd to be around. There was always lots of energy, and I met amazing people. You know, I did a show with Dottie West, Little Jimmy Dickens, Chris Christopherson, Glenn Campbell. Those were a few that I can think of off the top of my head right now. John
Anderson
amazing. Was on another show. Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It was great. It was fun. I love doing TV. I did a lot of TV shows in the 80s. There were a lot of country TV shows back then.
Yeah,
and,
there was.
It was good. It was a good experience.
Nashville Now, I see that you were on that show. Of course, that was a big show on TNN. That must have been great, so getting exposure in the States.
Yeah. No, it was excellent. I was really fortunate to get on there.
You did some duets in your career, and I always love talking about duets because they're great songs to hear the two voices join together and the magic that results from that. And so you had duets with Bobby Lalonde, Gilles Godard, who's a great songwriter, Terry Kelly. Did you enjoy duets back then and to this day? Do you still get a chance to do any?
So I love doing duets. I love singing with other people. The last duet that I did was on my Christmas CD, and I did that with an amazing singer, songwriter, vocalist. This guy is now, I think he sings like in 5 or 6 different languages. His name is Mark Masri. He's out of Toronto, but he performs all over the world now, and he's just amazing. So that was the last time I sang with anyone and made a recording of it, but maybe somewhere down the road. I've always thought it would be fun to do something with Jim Cuddy from Blue Rodeo.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I've actually had him on the show before, and I mean, I'm a huge Blue Rodeo fan, and his voice, as you know very well, is quite magical. He's actually got a duet with Jimmy Rankin on Jimmy's new CD. It's an up-tempo thing, but they sound great together.
Oh, I bet they do.
Yeah, but that would be great. I'd love to hear you and Jim Cuddy do a duet. That would be quite lovely. So the albums you had in the 80s and 90s, going into the recording studio, was that exciting, working on the albums, writing towards them, and actually having the songs come together in the studio?
Oh, yeah. There's something magical about going in with your songs and seeing, you know, them come to life. It was fun. It was different back then than a lot of recording is done these days. You know, a lot of the songs, like my first album I did in 1983, And it was done, the producer was Glenn Sutton, and he was a producer from Nashville. He used to produce Tammy Wynette and what's the other gal? Lynn Anderson. He was married to Lynn Anderson at one point.
Okay.
And everything was live off the floor. I mean, the band, everything was done live. And then I sang with the band, and maybe I resang two songs. That was it. It was a
whirlwind. What a difference, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, nowadays, you know, you can record a song and send the track to the drummer in a city and send the guitar, you know, get the guitar player in another city to put on tracks. I mean, you can do that. I have done some of that too, but.
Sure.
Yeah, those Nashville players, when you hire those Nashville players, they do so many recordings. They just sit down and it just flows out of them, you know. So, I mean, I enjoyed that. I also enjoyed doing, you know, some of my other albums when I was in Toronto and, you know, we'd get people together in our studio and everybody would play, and then we'd get the guitar player to come in and, you know, do all his tracks and get the background vocals in later. And yeah,
sure.
I love recording. I don't think people realize how much work it is. I mean, as you get older, you know, when you're younger, it's so exciting and everything. But seriously, as you get older, it's like, oh, right, you forget. It is so much work. And, you know, when you used to be up all hours and work in the studio around the clock and you know, you had the energy. You know, not that I'm painting myself as an old lady or anything, but you certainly, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now what about the voice itself? Is there some work in that, in getting it prepared, getting it ready to sing? Is that more involved?
No. I think you just have to keep it well-oiled, you know? It's like anything.
Right.
You know, you don't use it and you lose it. You know, you've got to keep using your instrument and take good care of it. You know, it's the environment that we live in today is much better than, you know, when I was singing in the 80s. I mean, you would be singing in clubs 6 nights a week in smoky clubs, you know, and then you'd hop on a plane and there was smoking on the plane and smoking in the restaurant. It was everywhere. I mean, well, that's the worst thing for a singer.
Oh yeah.
And so now, you know, you don't have to be exposed to that when you sing. Not
True.
That I sing in clubs anymore, but you know, and I love living out here in BC because we've got the positive ions coming off of the water from the ocean and the mountain air, and it's so clean out here. It's quite a bit different than living in Toronto.
for sure.
Sorry,
that
but it
sounds
is.
Great.
Yeah, and
let's
I'm fortunate, you know, I'm fortunate that, you know, I think my voice is, it's still pretty good, and I know at some point it'll probably change, and, but right now I'm still singing pretty, you know, pretty well, and I think that as, you know, as you age, and I think a lot of females will tell you this, that your voice becomes richer. And but I'm still able to hold my top end. In fact, I'm singing through stuff in my top end now where I never really had a very smooth transition from, you know, from my chest voice up into my head voice. But I'm much better at that now. So,
oh wow,
yeah. Maybe
isn't
it's because
great?
I'm not so stressed anymore. You know, when you live, when your life is stressed, I mean, your voice is affected definitely.
That sounds like it would make sense. We kind of tighten up, right? And that would be vocally
mm-hmm.
the same way if we're going mm-hmm. through stress. So that's pretty amazing to hear that that your voice has even gotten better. Well, we're going to listen to some of that now from your album, Heart of a Woman, Kalita, and this song is called Caged Bird, and we touched on it a bit earlier in the show, but talk about this song and what it means to you and maybe what other people have said to you, because I listened to this and just thought it has a great, there's just great meaning in this.
Mhm. Well, you know, I think there's a part of us, each one of us, you know, as human beings, we live in a busy world. We're rushed beyond all measure. And there are so many of us who feel isolated and alone, even though we can be married or have lots of people around us. And I think we just really need to take the time and be aware, more aware of those around us and people who are hurting. I think this song, you know, people who listen to it, they really interpret them for themselves. And a lot of people feel like they are the caged bird. They don't have a voice. Nobody's listening. You know, in my case, I mean, I relate to the child, you know, having so much going on in my life but never really having a voice, you know, until I was much older to be able to really say what was going on. And then I look at, you know, people who are shut in and seniors and who spend so much time by themselves. So that gives you a little bit of a picture. But
yeah.
It's touched a lot of people. This song is one of those songs that, yeah, it's, there's a special message in it, I think.
Yep. There is for sure. Let's share it now. My guest, Kalita, and the song Caged Bird here on In the Country.
I know why the caged bird sings. I know why she sings a sad refrain. Even when there's no one to listen, I know why the I know why the case.
a very beautiful song from my guest, Kalita. That is called Caged Bird. You can learn a lot more about her at Kalita.com. Beautiful singing there. When you sing a song like that, Kalita, are you moved? I mean, I can hear it in your voice there, but are you sometimes so moved that you get lost in the performance?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes you get caught off guard. You know, when I did the Heart of a Woman album, I insisted with the producer that I was working with that we play, that I sang and played at the same time. So I want, because when I play and sing, there's just something that, for me, it's special, rather than playing the piano first and then going in and doing the vocals. So I did the whole album where I'm playing and singing at the same time, because that's really what I wanted to convey, was the emotion behind the music. Yeah, so, yeah I have to be careful sometimes. I get carried away.
No doubt. Now, the songs on Heart of a Woman, are they songs that you had a hand in writing all of them, co-writing or writing yourself?
Most of them I wrote myself, but there are a few that are co-written. Yeah.
Very nice. It's such a beautiful album, as we've heard two examples there, the piano and your voice. Is that how you write your songs? I think you mentioned that earlier with the Strong One, although that was written on guitar, but you play it on piano.
Yeah.
Do you typically find a melody on the piano and lyrics follow, or how does the process work for you?
Usually, more than not, I start with the lyrics, and then I'll sit down at my piano and just start playing.
Right.
And sometimes it takes months to write a song, you know, one song that you'll just keep going back to, and other times you can sit down and, you know, it just happens. So there's never, no two songs are ever written the same way. But yeah, the piano is my instrument. I don't even play guitar. I wish I did, but once I started playing piano, then it was much easier for me. If I tried to play the guitar, I would just get frustrated and go back to the piano.
Now, have you had a chance, Kalita, to mentor any singer-songwriters at any point in your career, passing on advice or trying to help them along that kind of path?
I haven't. I mean, I've done a little bit, but nothing really to speak of, no.
Because you'd probably be good at that, you know, producing and
co-writing. Yeah, I mean, I have, I guess, in a very informal way. I've been friends with Allie Rainey from The Love Lock.
Yes.
Yeah, I've known her for maybe about 10 years. And so, you know, I did a bit of mentoring with Allie several years ago now. But, yeah, well, maybe I'll have to look into that, Dave.
Yeah, I think you'd be great as a producer, you know, co-writing and all that, and just helping somebody at that young stage along in their career. I think that'd be great.
Yeah.
Now, you've got somebody else who's very special in your life and who's also very musical, your husband, Gord Lemon. Tell us a bit about Gord.
Yeah, well, I married a lemon. I always tell people that, but he's good squeeze.
Love that.
I know, it just gets worse. Yeah, Gord and I have been together making music almost 25 years. Actually, it'll be this May that it's next month that we actually met 25 years ago. We met through the music business. We were on a show for our peacekeepers. So we were performing over in the Middle East. We were gone for a month's time, and that's where I met Gord. So we started, you know, playing and working together, and then we started writing together. And created KGB Music, which we had a studio in the Toronto, Mississauga area for many years. And we could never find a better name than that. We tried to find something that was more sophisticated, but KGB Music was Kalita and Gord's Basement.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, the acronym for Kalita and Gord's Basement. So
I was trying to figure out the connection there.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't what I thought it was.
Still,
so.
Yeah. Up until Heart of a Woman, Gord and I worked together on 5 CDs, co-writing everything, and Gord did pretty much most of the producing and arranging. He's a natural gift to arrange and hear everybody's parts. Real hands-on producer. So we've made a lot of music together over the years. But when it came to Heart of a Woman, you know, it was time for me to put on my big girl pants. And
right.
And I worked with another producer, and we produced Heart of a Woman together. I just needed a creative break from Gord, and it was a little nerve wracking at first, but I just needed to trust that I knew what I wanted, and it all happened, and Gord and I are still happily married.
you survived the album. That's great to hear, and still making beautiful music together. I was reading
yeah.
in your bio, Kalita,
yeah.
that you have done some stage work. You've done some acting.
Well, I did, actually. Before I started out in music, I did professional theater for a few years. Yeah, I went to York University. That's where I studied theater. And then I did some professional work for a couple of years before embarking on a music career, but I've always had
a
love of acting and performing, and I still do a lot of comedy in my gigs, in the events that I do.
Right. Very nice. So that keeps people engaged, right, if they're in the audience, if there's some comedy going on in between whatever
yep.
else is happening. It loosens
yeah,
people up, too.
No, it is. It's good. It's a good icebreaker.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like to laugh? And
exactly.
there's nothing more fun than having a great group of people laughing, because, you know, they feed you, you feed them, you can work off them. I love improvising. I love going into the audience. And, yeah, it's a totally different side of me, but it's been with me all the time, just like I started, writing songs. And as a young girl, I started creating these different personalities. And my influences there were Carol Burnett and Red Skelton and the Sonny and Cher Show, and then SCTV
yep.
came
yep.
along. And
I loved
SCTV. I loved it. I have a whole host
yeah.
of these wacky characters that I do, so it's very much part of who I am. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that great? Yeah, SCTV and Carol Burnett were two of my favorite comedy shows back in the day. Love both of those.
Yeah.
Kalita.com is where our listeners can, you know, check out tour dates and different speaking engagements that you'll be at. I wanted to ask you before we wrap up, do you have some favorite cover songs, Kalita, like a favorite song that isn't one of your own that you just enjoy singing, even if it's just around the house?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always loved singing Carol King's You've Got a Friend. Which, you know, she wrote it. James Taylor actually had a huge hit with it. But I love singing, a couple of her songs. I love James Taylor. But I would say, you know, You've Got a Friend or It's Too Late, Baby. I mean, I think I was in grade 7
yeah.
when that came out. And there was this young guy that was breaking my heart. And it's amazing how those songs will take you back.
Yo, for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's an amazing gift of music, that you can listen to a song from way back when and you go back to that
yes.
moment, that thing you were feeling, that emotion.
Well, it's true. Like today, like I bought an album, a double CD of The Carpenters, and
right.
I threw it in my office, and it was hiding under a bunch of papers, which means it's time to clean my desk. And I hadn't even opened it. So today I was out, and I put the CD in the car, and I mean, I learned that stuff when I was like 11 and 12 years old, and I still know every lick and all the background harmonies. I know it all, and it just comes back, and it took me right back to when I was, you know, a young girl. It's amazing what music does, the power
yeah.
of music.
That's Oh, for sure. Kalita, it's been such a delight spending this hour with you and sharing those songs and just getting to know you better and hear about some of the highlights of your career and, of course, stuff that has happened in your life. And it's been so great having you on the show.
Well, thank you. I am so honored that you invited me to be on your show, Dave. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure, and I'll encourage our listeners to, they can head to your website, Kalita.com, or directly to iTunes, and there's a bunch of your albums there, including Heart of a Woman. Terrific, Kalita, thank you so much, and we'll keep in touch online.
We will. Thanks so much, Dave. All the best.
My guest has been the wonderful Kalita. I'm Dave Woods, and for more country music interviews, be sure to head to InTheCountryInterviews.com.